We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today, and I am joined by my good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland, who I believe, if I'm not badly wrong, is in the beautiful spot called Colorado Springs, Colorado, not Carolina Springs, Carolina.
You know, I am in Colorado, Jim. It's great to be with you, and I want to say a big thanks to Jim Stanley. You are so faithful, along with Jeff Shambly. When either Bert is traveling or maybe I'm traveling, you guys do such a good job on exploring the Word. And Jim and I, now you and I go back 16 years, brother.
We talked about that on the phone the other day.
We did. The Lord is so faithful. You know what? Listen, I'm in Colorado teaching, and Colorado is kind of thought of as a blue state. I was just today, for some reason, I don't know why, I thought, I wonder what their state motto is. And their state motto is in Latin, and it says, nothing without God. Mm. Isn't that something? Now, they said here in the last few years, people have changed it to be nothing without providence. But originally in the 1800s, when the state was founded, the motto was nothing without God. And I guess I would say that, Jim, because as a people, as a nation, we need to never forget. It's like what Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention regarding the God that got the colonists through the American Revolution and mm-hmm. built this great nation. Benjamin Franklin said, we must never forget our faithful friend, meaning the Lord.
Amen.
But today's a special show, and what we're going to do, we've just got a few verses, four or five verses. We're going to wrap up the book of Romans that we've been in for, you know, quite a number of weeks. But then for two whole segments, folks, we're going to take questions, as we always do, but we're also going to take prayer requests. Generally, Bert and I have been praying on Tuesdays. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for the Spirit of God to give a great revival. And Jim, be okay if we do that. We'll wrap up Romans, and then we'll, for two segments. And so folks, you know, get in the queue, and we want to hear from you. We want to pray together.
Yeah.
We'll take Bible questions too. But I think it'll be a great full hour of communing together with God.
Amen. You know, I think I've shared this once before on Exploring the Word. And gosh, many years ago, Marvin was still with us. In fact, I hung out with him a lot of the trip while we were able to fellowship together on one of Tim Wildman's Washington trips. And so we were visiting the gravesite of George Washington. And, you know, it has a kind of a fence around it. And then it has four columns similar to the Washington Monument. Okay. And on one of those, this is what it said of George Washington for those who say that he was not a Christ follower and those that say he did not believe in the faith. As a judge, he was wise and just, as a man of truth, hunting covetous, firm in every honor, able purpose and pursuit, yet gentle, humane, and condescending, a sincere Christian, doing in all things the will of his master, and resting his hope of eternal happiness alone on the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
When
you have a chance to take the Heritage Tour with Tim Wildman, I encourage you to do so, because they don't tell things like that anymore. In fact, they're mm-hmm. trying to sandblast a lot of that now, so that they, just like you were talking about for Colorado. And so this goes back way back in American history, where this was a testimony of who George Washington was. And I have no reason to doubt it. And so when we pray for our country, we need to pray that we'll have leaders like that again. And
Amen.
And Christ-following leaders. But yes, sir, I'm all for getting into the book of Romans and finishing that up, because, you know, there may be just a few verses left, but if you look at what's in those verses, it's incredible.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for sharing that about the gravesite of George Washington. And there's a lot we could say on that. But the Christian Heritage Tours, with like Stephen McDowell and Tim Wildman in Washington, they're very powerful. Paul had gone through a great long list of 29 names of people that were colleagues in the gospel. And yesterday we read verse 20, and this is a great reassurance for us in our times. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Jim, that's a good word for the church in the 21st century. Look, let's be busy about the Lord's business. We know things look bad sometimes, but Jesus is coming back. And the serpent's head will be crushed. Mm. But then finally, a few more closing salutations. Timotheus, my work fellow, Lucius and Jason, and Sosipater, perhaps, my kinsman, salute you. I'm thinking they must be Jewish Christ followers. Mm. And it says in verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, the brother. Now, the last few verses, 24 through 27, we'll talk about in a minute. But, Jim, verse 22, Tertius. You know, Bert and I have talked. I learned a word from Bert Harper years ago, amanuensis. And I did not know that word till I heard Bert use it, and I looked it up, and it's like a stenographer or somebody who wrote it down. And apparently, are we to take away that this Tertius of verse 22, Paul was the penman, the Holy Spirit gave the words, but Tertius might have been the stenographer to take down these words.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I wonder if Paul was sitting there and saying, okay, now let's include Tertius. Or do you think Tertius was like, hey, people need to know who wrote this down for Brother Paul, so let me just ease my name in there and let you know that I love you in the Lord, too, and that I salute you in the Lord. But, I mean, I think that's what it was. You know, a lot of times we talk about who wrote stuff down for people. I guess my shortest answer should have just been yes.
Well, it's a team effort, isn't it?
That's right.
And the gospel always is. And, you know, I say this when we talk about working together and collaborating. Super Bowls are won by teams. You know, championships are won by teams, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
And so it is with the gospel work. Let's focus in 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him, and what a majestic closing we're coming upon here. Now to him that is power, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. And thus concludes just one of the most powerful things ever written in human history, I believe, Jim, the book of Romans, the gospel of God's grace. Those verses, 25, 26, 27, there's just such a beauty and power to those verses, isn't there?
Well, there is, and you could take either of those, you know, back up to 24, and reminder that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us. you know, that it, that it's with us because of the prayer of those who have gone before us. But yes, sir, when you get into 25 and 26 and 27, any of those verses would preach by themselves. You know, you could do 25 one Sunday, 26 another Sunday, and 27 yet another Sunday because of the power that's in each of those. But, you know, Alex, I think that Tertius may have had a little Southern Baptist in him.
Amen.
Because I think there were four or five closings.
Exactly. Exactly. Jim, I'm on the road preaching a lot. In fact, this weekend I'll be at First Baptist of Silverton, Texas, Pastor G.J. Walton, great brother and just fantastic people down there just outside of Lubbock. And, you know, we evangelists, we like closing. In fact, we'll do it three or four times in one sermon, you know. It's funny. Have you ever been in a service, Jim, and maybe the man has preached, but he's found a great place to land the plane,
right,
shall we say. And you're like, okay, come on, brother. You're gonna end strong. And he'll say, when I was a boy, this reminds me, you know. And 500 people kind of sigh like, okay. But
you know, when you're at an airport, they have a name for that. It's called a touch and go.
A touch and go.
Because you're bringing the, you know, it may be a student bringing the plane in for a landing, and they do this. You know, they'll call it a touch and go because what they want to do is establish contact with the pavement and then take off again, just as mm-hmm. though something might have happened that they couldn't land and they had to do basically an emergency takeoff. So, yeah, a lot of my good friends have touch and goes in their sermons.
Sometimes, I suppose. But, you know, this closing, you know, now to him, and I love, there's a connection between 25 and 27. Ultimately, here's what Paul is saying, to God alone be the glory. But in the middle there, the one who has the power to establish you on mm-hmm. the gospel and all this. Jim, it reminds me of Ephesians 3:20. Now, let me read, and this is definitely Paul's voice. I mean, for real. Every now and then, people will ask, do you really think the traditional authorship is accurate? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
You know, and Ephesians 3:20, let me turn. I thought I was there, and I've got a page or two to go. But like in the book of Ephesians, Paul says this. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And this Romans 16:25-27, that just, to me, that sounds like the voice of the Apostle Paul.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And when you see that, you see some verses similar to this, again, in Corinthians and Galatians. And mm-hmm. I think it's just reinforcing. Paul is saying, look, this is the gospel. And he says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Mm-hmm. You know, as we think that through and we see Paul talking about that in different places in the scripture and in the different towns, I think that's part of his theme ministry, if you will. You know, as you're an evangelist yourself, you may have a core set of things that you want to get across to any town that you may be visiting. And so that becomes your core verses. Hey, folks, we're on Exploring the Word, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Dr. Alex McFarland and myself will begin to take your questions in just a few minutes here on AFR.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
Because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
Because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong
finish. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Hey, here's the number. We're going to go early to the phones. That's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You know, Romans wrapped up talking about glory to God and the mystery of the gospel. Jim, do you remember in Matthew 11:25, and we'll sort of tie a bow on Romans, but Jesus was praying. It's just such a beautiful thing. And he said, Father, I thank thee that these things have been hidden to the wise, but now you have revealed them unto babes. And here's the thing. When you know Jesus and you understand the good news of the gospel, how we were sinners, our sin separated us from God. And if the sin problem is not resolved, tragically, we're separated from God forever. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, the full payment for our sin was born by Jesus on Calvary's cross. And folks, here's the good news. If you will put your faith in Jesus, turn from sin to Christ, and you say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. And Lord, I accept that on that cross, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was doing that for me. And dear Jesus, I trust you, and I ask you to wash my sins away and save my soul. Do you know, and Jim, this is it's the mystery, but maybe even right this moment, people's eyes are being opened. If you will call on Jesus and just say, Dear Lord, save me, he will do that today. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Folks, maybe you've held God at arm's length for years. You feel like you've run from God. His arms are open. Mm-hmm. And right this minute, today, your whole future can be made brand new because Christ will forgive you and save you. And he's as close by as a prayer. That's why we call it good news, isn't it, Jim?
It absolutely is. And it's good news for everyone. There is not anyone that cannot be saved. You know, the scripture says, for God so loved the world. And he did, and he does. You know, we as Christians, a lot of times, we tend to I guess, point out more some sins more than others. But, you know, every sin can be forgiven except for grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure how I would get to that point because I know the Lord loves us enough to keep putting these barriers up. But, you know, you get there and we want everyone to have that fellowship that was just talked about there in Romans 16, you know, that we can say, but is now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of faith. Mm-hmm. To God, only wise, be the glory through Jesus Christ forever. His glory is by establishing you in Jesus, and then you give God the glory for the new life. And so every sinner can be saved.
I believe it. Forgive me for jumping in there, but 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Folks, you don't have to be lost. you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. Jim, we've done a fair amount of prison crusades, and I've had a lot of men, they'd come up and they'd say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." I said, "Yeah, but Jesus does,
Amen.
And he loves you. And it doesn't matter. Hey, the down and out can be saved. The up and out can be saved. Maybe somebody listening and you life, you've got it all together and all that. But if you don't have Jesus, you're in spiritual danger. So you can turn to Jesus. Help me out, Jim. There is a number. Folks, if you pray and you need spiritual help, or you want to know more about this decision you've made to trust Jesus, there's a partner. Is it 800-NEED-HIM?
Yes, sir. It is 800-NEED-HIM. Brent's handing me sheets right now.
And it's spelled just like it sounds.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 888-NEED-HIM.
Oh, I apologize.
Yes, sir. 888-NEED-HIM. We found out a while back that that was incorrect. And, you know, for years, that's what I'd been saying. Also, you can go to needhim.org, and if you may prefer to chat, you know, rather than talk to someone by voice, and you can do that. They've made that available now, too, as people move more towards, you know, chats and everything. I tell you, for me, if somebody wants to chat with me, just call me. My wife, my daughters will tell you this. If you're trying to have a text conversation with me, just sit back, because I'm the one-finger wonder.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm kind of slow myself. But, hey, here's what we're going to do, folks. If you've got a Bible question, we welcome that. The number, if you want to call in, and we'll put you on the air with your Bible question, is 888-589-8840. What Bert Harper and I have been doing, and I'd love for you to join in, whoever you are, we've been praying for a lot of things, praying for needs, praying for people, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, about a lot of things. But we've been praying for America. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks from now, we've got an election. We're not going to get partisan here, although I don't think it would be hard to figure out. If you're an active, astute listener, you probably know where I stand. But we're praying for our country. We really are. And Jim, I got to tell you, there's a lot at stake, and so I think it behooves us to intercede for the future of our country.
Amen. And if you need help with topics on what to pray for, you know, we've got a great friend of the ministry, the Presidential Prayer Team, and it's all spelled out, presidentialprayerteam.org, and they have different things there on how you can pray for the country, specifically how you can pray for different leaders. And for example, today, the president, Mr. Biden, is meeting with some ministers, the prime minister of Slovenia, and they're having a meeting today at the White House. So you can be praying about that. There's other things going on this evening. And presidentialprayerteam.org, and they actually have the president's schedule for the day is what I was trying to get out. So, Alex, yes, sir, I think that we need to pray. You know, I went back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, because it kind of tied in with what we were talking about. The injunction is not to everyone, all right? It's to, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, can you guess which version I read that from?
Is it the Amplified Bible?
It is the Amplified Bible. But, you know, that injunction is to us as believers.
It is.
And so if we aren't repenting from our wicked ways, if we as believers aren't repenting, then we've done something wrong, you know, because our Father still hears us, but I don't think it's the clear line of communication as when we repent and pray.
Well, do you remember the verse that says judgment begins at the house of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Do you know, I've had the privilege, I preach a lot of revival meetings. I love to do that, and that's really, I suppose, would fall under the heading of exhortation, mm-hmm. you know, exhorting and encouraging the saints. And pastors, sometimes they'll call and they'll say, we're hoping we get a lot of people saved. And I said, well, okay, good, let's invite a lot of unsaved people. But really, revival starts with the body of believers.
Right.
You know? And now, evangelism is lost people, and of course, we try to, you know, message to both, you know, get saved and get revived. But our nation needs a revival, folks. And one of the things I want to encourage everybody, a great film that I watched a year ago was called Jesus Revolution. And it was the story of Greg Laurie, who is a dear colleague in the gospel. 55-ish years ago, I think there was a great awakening in the late 60s. I mean, a lot of things coalesced. You had Billy Graham, you had mm-hmm. Bill Bright, Josh McDowell, Chuck Smith, Greg Laurie. But Jim, if the past is any predictor, it seems like the big awakenings have come in about 50-year cycles, mm-hmm. honestly, from colonial America. That being the case, and please pray, and I love that 2 Chronicles 7:14. It begins with, my people, called by my name, humble themselves. We look, pride says, I don't need God. Humility says, I don't need anything but God. And seek his face, pray, turn from our wicked ways. And yes, we all have repentance to do. And then here's what God says he's going to do. He says, I will hear from heaven. Mm-hmm. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. Jim, mm-hmm. I am believing God that in our lifetime, before Jesus comes back, that we're going to see a major outpouring of God's Holy Spirit.
I think we have to. And I think we have to here in America. I've had, you know, a lot of questions have come in. What part does America play in, you know, the book of Revelation? And, you know, by and large, I think we've all said pretty much none.
Yeah.
And so if we want to be relevant in the end times, we need to start now. By the way, the verse you mentioned was 1 Peter 4:17, and it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So if it's going to start here and he's going to hold us super accountable, what's going to happen to those that have not come to know Christ? You ready to go to the phones?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, before we go, did you want to pray for America, or you want to let's put some of these requests together and pray at the end?
Let's go to the calls, because I know people have been waiting, but
they
stay
have.
Tuned, folks. We are going to pray together.
Jock from Florida has been waiting patiently, at least I hope so. Jock, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, and thank you for what y'all do. Y'all are certainly disciples of our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. And I have talked with Alex in the past, he may remember, but I'm a truck driver, and I drive back and forth across this nation. And I'm telling you, God is doing a work. He's doing it in each and everyone's heart. He is stirring and resurrecting dead hearts right now. I'm seeing it happen.
Amen.
And I travel the same road. I stop at the same place. God has blessed me with a route from Florida to California. And he's putting people in front of me that I'm supposed to see, because he knows where I'm going to be, and he's got to line things up. And I just want to encourage everyone the importance of staying in the Word of God, because he reveals things unto you and reveals things unto you, and he literally changes a man from the inside out. I know. He'll move the sin. He sees the desires of your heart. But you have to seek him, and in seeking him, he's transforming us. I love John 17. Maybe you'll get a chance to read it to your listeners, but I love John 17. I stand strong on it. But I'd like to pray that every soul that has ever received Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that the Spirit of God would stir their hearts to seek happiness in Christ Jesus and in the Word of God, so that he could do the transformation and do the work, because he is the author and he will do the work and he's going to finish his work. And let's pray that Joe Biden, he came to me last night and I was listening to the word and I couldn't help but cry how the people that in his own party are turning their backs on him. He's still a child of God, and he has some religious beliefs. And I believe that in his state of mind and where he's at, I believe God can stir him into repentance. And I believe that God can use him in these latter days so that it'll be a peaceful transition of power when Donald Trump's reelected, if it so be. That God will use him, he'll repent. And he said that all things are going to be exposed. I believe that 2020 means clear vision. God showed me that, and that it's been exposed all the way from your lower courts to your top courts, all the way in TV, every movie, everything's got times, dates, people's names.
Yeah.
We see the deception, and God is exposing it, and he's calling us to be sanctified. Listen to what Paul says. This is not just accepting Christ and being born again, but that the Holy Spirit do the work in you to sanctify you by my word.
Amen, Jock. We appreciate you calling in and sharing this afternoon. Man, that's good stuff. And we pray for you as you continue to drive across the country that you'll be safe and that the Lord will help keep you safe so that you can return home. Alex, you know, one of the things that he had mentioned in there was Christians voting and, you know, wanting to pray that Christians would follow the learnings of the scripture. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, you know, we are supposed to be subject to our leaders. And one of the ways that we do that is by our vote. But I've seen several studies, even one from Newsweek, that says there are probably 41 million people who claim to be born again Christians who also plan not to vote this election.
I know, now, it's very sad.
We don't want to tell you R's and D's, our independence. That's not up to us. We just pray that you vote your values, you know, that's what you do, and that you vote the values from the scripture. So, Alex, I wanted to just throw that out there as we're thinking about prayer requests for today. Let's talk to Lori. Oh, I hear the music. Lori? You're going to have to hold on through the break. I'm sorry. I had already punched you on, and now I've got to punch you off. So stick around. You'll be our first caller out of the gate as Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
And the Salvation Army Band is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me.
Welcome
Jesus,
back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Brent, I don't know if you did that just for me or what, but, you know, a lot of the times that I wind up co-hosting, that song seems to find its way into rotation.
Maybe.
And so, Alex, you know, that as we were thinking about what our subject for today and how we've had so many references to repentance, you know, that song in there that the Salvation Army Band was playing was I Surrender All.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so that's what we need to do. Well, let's get – oh, by the way, Brent did tell me to give out the phone number, so let me be obedient. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840, pardon me. And Lori, welcome again to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you? God bless you, Juan. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited to have a chance to read the Bible once again. I'm a Christian 3 years now, and I would like to ask, I'm reading through 1 Samuel, and I found it fascinating, the second chapter, verse 1 through 10, how it's, I'm like, could you reflect on maybe if that's like so true today? Because I feel it, you know, when I read it and everything. And you all do just an amazing job, and I enjoy listening to AFR, and I'm just so excited to read the Bible, and I hope everybody gets out to vote.
Amen. Amen.
Did you say 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1
yes,
through 10?
Yes,
the prayer of Hannah. That's such a sweet thing. And by the way, thanks for listening, and congratulations 3 years into your walk with Jesus.
Amen.
That's wonderful. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now, Hannah had been childless, which in that day was kind of a disgrace. I mean, it was not a good thing. Because one of the things they equated children and family with the blessing of God, and we still do to this day. And, you know, Hannah is going to have a child, and she gives birth to Samuel, who's the prophet of God. But I just think it's a beautiful passage there. And she really, you know, kind of prophesies, you know, "There's none as holy as the Lord. There's none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." 1 Samuel 2:2, that's a pretty good verse, isn't it, Jim?
It sure is. And, you know, the second half of the question was, would that be applicable today? I believe with all my heart that if you are praying for something and you're obediently praying for that, you know, there in Matthew, it talks about knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, ask and keep on asking. It's not because God doesn't hear you, but he's also looking at your heart. And the other part of that is, while you know, most everyone I know wants kids. Some don't, and I understand that too. But when they want a child, I think part of that is weighing that they don't want the child more than God. Mm-hmm. You know, your children can be idols.
Listen, Hosea 8 talks about making altars unto sin. And even, you know, we love our family members, but we don't want anything to come between us and God. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Let me encourage people to read 1 Samuel 2, verse 10. And we won't really unpack that today, but there's coming a day when the trumpet will sound and Christ will return. And we want you to be ready, and we want you, all people, by knowing Jesus, we can face the Lord confidently and unashamed.
Mm. Amen. Violet, hang on. We're going to come back to you. Or if you would send me an email to word@afr.net, word@afr.net, we'll be happy to send you some of those recommendations for the Bibles, and we'll get Brent to post that on our website again, as we've done in the past. Let's talk to Joan right now, calling from Illinois. Joan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you so much for what you two do. You have no idea what a blessing you are, and especially in this time. God bless you and AFR. We couldn't do it without you. Keep going. I have a friend at church. Her son is in the Secret Service. He's on a mission by himself, and it's dangerous. And he told her that if it gets to the point where he might be tortured and killed, he's been given an L pill where he could commit suicide. He's a Christian, and she's afraid if he does commit suicide, he'll go to hell. Do you have any help for her?
Jim, let me jump in on this, and God bless you. If he's a born-again Christian, no, he would not go to hell. Now, I was taught growing up something different. Mm-hmm. And let me be very careful about this. In no way am I justifying suicide. Now, I think in his case, it's very different because he's in the service of the country, and it's not like a person just, you know, randomly deciding to end it all. I understand a soldier, and, you know, we talked in some length about Romans chapter 13 about peace officers and soldiers and the power that be is sanctioned by God and does not bear the sword in vain. Very different circumstance. But, Jim, I'll never forget the church I grew up in, the youth pastor once said that suicide, you could not go to heaven because it would be a thing you couldn't ask forgiveness for.
Right.
What I later learned, and I learned this reading Billy Graham and a number of other great authors, here, when you trust Christ, positionally you are in Christ. Now, your sonship is determined the minute you accept Christ and are born again. Now, later throughout life, your fellowship is walking with the Lord, and 1 John 1:9 says we confess our sins. But when you come to Christ, your position, you change lanes. You're in the lane of sin and lostness. Now you've changed lanes. You're in this lane called everlasting life. And I'm not, please folks, I'm not in any way encouraging taking one's life, but people get in a depressive state. I don't find any scripture that you lose your salvation if, and it's not desirable, it's tragic, but Greg Laurie had a son that committed suicide, and he was depressed. He got in this dark place and a dark spiral, but especially this person the caller spoke about, that being a prisoner of war rather than being tortured or giving up information. And this is tough stuff, but it's under the heading of Christian ethics. And a great book I love to recommend is by Dr. Robertson McQuilkin, Biblical Ethics, and it's published by Tyndale. But and Jim, I say this with fear and trembling, but I would say he would not lose his salvation. But you feel free to disagree.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that is just so hard. In fact, I had a conversation with one of my kids about this, I think even last week, and was talking about that. You know, only God can judge the heart. That's not my job. My job isn't to judge the heart. You know, we know of people that are in, and again, we are not in any way endorsing suicide. In fact, I'm going to give you a helpline here in just a moment should you be struggling with that. But, you know, you have people that are stressed out, and they may have a crisis where they have a mental breakdown or things like that, and they may not entirely know what they're doing. In fact, if you see the prescriptions that are coming out nowadays, and you look at some of the precautions on there, I can't count how many times on, I'm going to guess, 8 out of 10 commercials that I've seen for prescriptions and stuff, one of the chief side effects is can cause dark thoughts or temptation for suicide. Now, they don't say temptation. But if you're struggling with that and you would like some help, dial 988. 988. I know that sounds odd, but it's something the government has done recently because of the calls, and it is a suicide and crisis lifeline. So call that, and it's all you have to do is just 988. You know, it's like 911, but you call 988, and that is the suicide and crisis hotline. And so if you're struggling, man, call your pastor. Call your friend. Call your best friend. Call your sister. Call someone that will help you work through that. You know, suicide is not an easy option. Neither is it an easy way out. So, again, we don't encourage suicide, but in the situation that Joan was talking about here, as Alex said, he is actually under orders for that. And so I think that is also a covering. Larry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir.
What you got, brother?
I have a situation where I used to pastor, and I got really beat down by my apostle and kicked out, and my wife ended up dying on me, and I went through so many crises, so much hurt, that now I tried to get remarried, but I'm not able to show any love or affection, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Is it just me, or is it life? Is I'm just giving up? I mean, I can't understand it.
Hmm. Well, I'm sorry. You know, sounds like burnout, you know, for lack of a better word. And, you know, to go through the stress of ministry and job and then lose your spouse. Do you know, let me just say this. Psychologists would say that you have gone through a lot. There was a thing called the Holmes-Rahe scale of life change units, and they measure different things that are stressful. And I would encourage you to seek out some counseling. Focus on the Family. I used to work there. Wonderful, wonderful ministry. You can call Focus on the Family. Their number used to be 1-800-A-FAMILY. I think that's probably still the number. No charge, no obligation. But based on where you live, they can recommend a Christian counselor that is vetted out and trustworthy. But in the meantime, pour out your heart to God and tell Him how you're feeling, because what you're describing is something that you can get out of it. You can get back to where your heart can feel and you can love. Love is the commitment to meet another person's needs. And, you know, marriage and family, one of the beautiful things, and the Holy Spirit will work this within you, is that true love, certainly the love of a spouse and the love for family and the love for the body of Christ, is that you want to glorify Jesus by serving others. And so, brother, invest in your healing. And I'm making some assumptions here, but you sound burned out, and you need healing, and that healing can happen. But go do the steps. Find a counselor and commit to making the investment in yourself as a stewardship of your life.
Amen. Alex, thanks for that. Larry, I agree with what Alex said, and I would commend to you the love of Christ, that if you continue to cling to Him and walk closer to Him, then He will help you find that love as well. But some of this, as Alex said, is you just need to take care of you first so that that can help you take care of others. Yeah. Next. So there you go. This is Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex, we're down to the last couple of minutes. And so as we are, then I want to give out the suicide hotline again. It's simply 988. And again, that's one that you can call or text, 988. And that is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Brent was showing me another number. Not sure what.
That was for the Focus on the Family that he was speaking about.
Gotcha.
For seeking a counselor, that's going to be 1-855-771-HELP.
There you go. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
One last one there for that, because mental health is so important. AACC is another one that will help you. AACC.com, AACC.com, and they will also help you find a care provider. Alex, would you take us, as we're coming up here in the last couple of minutes, we talked about praying for America today. Would you help us pray for America and pray for that the Christians would be moved to go vote?
Yes. Let's do that. Let's join together, folks. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow before you. And Lord, first of all, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for all the promises of your holy word and our home in heaven. But Lord, we know until we get to heaven, wherever we are in this world, that we have our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria in which to minister. And for us, that's the United States. And so, Lord, I pray for our country. Lord, in these weeks coming up to this election, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to intervene. Give us righteous, godly leadership. Lord, rule and overrule I pray there would be no voter fraud, no cheating. And Lord, please stir the 41 million Christians that aren't going to vote. Make them go vote. The pastors that aren't encouraging their congregations, give them the motivation. And Lord, may the body of Christ get out there and cast a vote and not let darkness prevail. Intervene, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Alex, thanks for letting me hang out with you today.
Well, you did great. Jim Stanley, Brent Austin, Jeff McIntosh, all the wonderful staff of AFR, we thank you. And listeners, we thank God for each and every one of you. Please tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
Amen. Hey, folks, stick around. Washington Watches next here on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.